Welcome to More Food for Thought, the companion show to Food Conversations. More Food for Thought expands on some of the ideas that are aired on Food Conversations. It's Warren Bell. I'm Warren Bell and your host today. And Steve Corey is in the producer's chair as usual. And you're listening to us on CKVS FM 93.7, the voice of the Shuswap. Today, we're delighted to have two guests who have a major role to play in food development in this community. Lana Fitt is the Economic Development Manager for the SAEDS, which is the Salmon Arm Economic Development Society. And our other guest is Jen Gamble, who is the Executive Director of the new Salmon Arm Food Hub. Welcome, Jen and Lana.
Thanks, Warren. Pleased to be here today.
Delighted to have you on the show. Now we're going to, Lana is our new guest today. Jen was with us last week, and we talked a lot about the process that's brought her to the position she's in now. But I thought it would be useful maybe to start off, Lana, with a little bit of background on how you are involved with this process. You've been here for about 12 years. Where'd you come from to arrive in this mighty metropolis?
Yeah, thanks, Warren. We were lucky enough to move to Salmon Arm about a dozen years ago now with our family. We came from Burns Lake, so previously I was doing regional economic development with the regional district of Balkling and Chaco in Burns Lake.
But you've had a long business background. I believe it's something like a quarter century in business of one sort or another. What kind of businesses were you involved in over the years? I mean, the actual practical kinds of businesses that you were.
Yeah, I was, I guess I started out managing some hospitality businesses. So I was a lead in a hotel resort banquet facility in the community there. Later, my husband and I purchased our own, it was a pub and a cold beer store, and we operated that for a while. Just several management positions throughout my career with different businesses, but a stronger focus on hospitality, really.
You also did some academic training, I guess, in the middle of your business career at University of Waterloo. What did you do there?
Yeah, through the regional district of Balkline and Chaco, they actually created a new position. It was the launch of their ECDEV function when I started in that position. And so I was lucky enough to get to go out to Waterloo and pursue my designation in economic development. And that's an ECD designation through the University of Waterloo and Economic Development Association of Canada.
So what does ECD stand for?
Community Economic Development. Okay. So it's a certified economic developer designation.
It's interesting. It must be interesting for you to have sort of an academic certificate of some sort. In addition to your practical experience, I wonder how much you learned about business from actually doing it versus actually going to school to be taught about it, as it were. How did that blend together for you?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, being an entrepreneur gave me a good foundation to begin my first steps into ECDEV as a career. But the designation really helped me. It's such a broad field, and it's just an opportunity to continuously learn and explore new things every day. You know, certainly not a food expert or a food production expert, nor do I have a strong background in innovation or co-working spaces, but we've had the opportunity to kind of dip our toes in all of these different areas and learn along the way. One of the great things about my position is it's always surrounded by experts and thought leaders and community leaders on our board of directors and within our staff and our organization. So there's lots of support there.
Well, today we have an expert in food systems on the show again, and that's Jen Gamble. Jen, you have two Lanas in your life. The Lana Fitt is with us here today and will be telling us more about her experiences. But another Lana has played an important role, and that's Lana Popham, the Minister of Agriculture currently, and also a former organic farmer. Maybe you can just comment a little bit about on how you and she have worked together when you were with the COA BC, Certified Organic Association of BC, and with Young Agrarians. What role has that other Lana played in your relationship with food systems?
So Lana Popham has always been a really great supporter of agriculture. And I was in place before she became the Minister of Agriculture. And I have to say, everyone was very excited when she actually moved from the critic's chair to the minister's chair, because that often doesn't happen. And she's been a great supporter of organics and of local food systems in general. And I think that the initiating this local food hub network is one of the things that she's really passionate about. There's so many things she's passionate about. But I think this is going to have a really big impact on the entire province, actually.
Did you have conversations with her about when the project was starting to gestate? Did you have conversations with her? Did she, or either you or maybe Lana, you can answer this. Did she have input into the process fairly early on when it was just sort of an idea? Lana, you have some?
Yeah, I can share, Warren, for sure. Lana and some of her senior staff actually visited our community early on in the process and had the opportunity to meet with some of our board of directors and city councillors. And really share some information about the food hub network, the BC Food Hub network that she was focused on establishing. She had an opportunity to hear about our community and the opportunity to launch this initiative in Salmon Arm for the broader Shuswap area. And she's been actually quite engaged, participated in a number of events along the way.
Jen, when Lana Popham came to the community, how did that sort of, for you, kind of animate the relationship you'd had with her for many years, really?
Honestly, Warren, she came at a time when I wasn't involved in this project. And although I knew her and I worked with her in other projects, I was working at a provincial level. So I actually didn't even know when she came. And I found out much later from her that she'd been in Salmon Arm. And I thought, what?
You missed her.
I missed it. So on that front, I wasn't here when she was, or I wasn't present when she was here in Salmon Arm. But I definitely engaged with her on a provincial level many, many times.
Lana, the SAEDS, the Salmon Arm Economic Development Society, which is somewhat arm's length, but connected through funding arrangements with the city, started to really branch out about 3 years ago with the fairly dramatic creation of the new Innovation Center. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and what led to becoming more creative, if you like, with respect to economic development in this community.
Sure. It was about early 2018 when we launched the Salmon Arm Innovation Center, downtown Salmon Arm. And this building is about a 10,000 square foot facility. The top two floors are co-working spaces and meeting room space, really designed to house and support our high-tech cluster that's well established in Salmon Arm. And then the ground floor is a community makerspace, so it's home to the Shuswap makerspace. And the concept behind the makerspace is really to ignite interest in technology as a career opportunity for our emerging workforce, our younger high school students, and even beyond that. So we've had great sponsorship and support from the community, from a number of businesses and community organizations to move this space forward. It's been operating at least 75% full. We've actually expanded some office spaces here. So we have 19 co-working office spaces now. We have drop-in hot desk space and other opportunities.
And you also have really a few new staff members as well.
We do, yeah. We've expanded the size of our organization as a whole. So in addition to taking on the Innovation Center, we also began a contract with the city for implementing the 2% hotel tax, or the MRDT program for Salmon Arm. So that was another big
MRDC
initiative that we launched.
You'll have to explain MRDC.
Yeah. MRDT stands for Municipal and Regional District Tax. And so it's a 2% visitor tax that's charged to visitors to our community when they're staying at accommodations. The funding's returned to our community to pursue and support tourism-related projects. So tourism marketing initiative, tourism programs, and tourism services.
So for those listeners who don't know about this, what's a hot desk?
A hot desk is really a drop-in space. So it provides professional workspace for someone who might be a remote worker, might be working in your basement and needs a quiet space to work for the day. Maybe you're traveling in our community, visiting our community and looking for professional space. So you can come in and have a desk for the day, access our copier space and our Wi-Fi and all of those things that you might need.
It's a little quiet haven for somebody who wants to get a job done.
Absolutely.
Now, this innovation process obviously had a contributing presence with respect to the food hub. It sounds to me like the SAEDS was starting to look at new ways to enhance things. And when Lanapapa came to town and some discussions took place, this led, I understand, to a feasibility study. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was the first step in sort of exploring this opportunity for our community to determine if there was demand and to start fleshing out the specifics about what our community, what our region needs for a food hub offering. Food hubs aren't a new idea. They've been operating across North America for a number of years. But the consistent factors are that they're all based on the premise of the sharing economy, but they're often what makes them competitive or successful is the fact that they're tailored to the needs of their community. So that's really what the feasibility study helped us draw out. So we held a number of open houses. We did one-on-one interviews with local food producers and processors, and we conducted a survey that pulled out about 100 responses that really helped guide what the needs and demands were for our area.
Now, this is the point at which, Jen, you started to become involved. You knew this was happening, obviously. Tell us about how you became involved in the process yourself.
I think the first time that I did anything with the Food Hub, I was actually interviewed by Chad Shipmaker as a person of interest, I guess.
Part of the feasibility study then.
Or the feasibility study, yeah. With my role with COABC as the executive director there.
Do you remember what you told him at that time? What you told him was a useful thing to do?
I don't remember my exact words, but I know that I definitely reiterated that this is an important piece of work to move forward within our community and that it would be extremely valuable. At that time, I dealt a lot with farmers, and I thought that it could be a really great way for farmers to potentially add value to their products or to create a better, stronger value chain for our food system, where farmers were able to move their product into a local food chain that would or another processor who would take it and move it forward. So I thought this could really benefit our local food system.
Well, you must have been quite eloquent, because the next thing you know, you're being asked to draw up a business plan. Tell us about that process and what you did with the business plan.
So, yeah, we ended up working on a business plan based on the feasibility study and moved it. Just basically moved the idea forward and put a little bit more parameter around it as to what it could look like. And it was a coordinated effort for sure. Lana was definitely very involved in that part of the work as well.
Lana, the first feasibility study by Chad Shipmaker and then the business plan by Jen Gamble, it worked. And you got a very sizable grant. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what the grant is and how it works.
Yeah, we We submitted the business plan to Ministry of Agriculture and had been really working with them hand in hand. They actually provided funding to support the development of the feasibility study and then to support the expansion into the full business plan. And finally, in October, we were direct awarded funding from Ministry of Agriculture to support the launch and first year's operations of the food hub for our community. So we received a funding contribution of $565,000 to support this effort.
That must have caused a little bit of joy and celebration in this community.
It did, absolutely. Yeah, it was really interesting because we had actually undertaken quite an extensive engagement process through the feasibility study and business plan process, but the media exposure and I think the prompt that this is actually coming to fruition and that we had the ability to move it forward really spurred a lot more interest in the project. And so we had a lot of new entrepreneurs and prospective entrepreneurs contacting us, wanting to know more and wanting to play a role in the project. So it definitely gave it a lot more exposure.
And you're still getting a lot of inquiries these days as well, even more, I should imagine. The website is up. I had a look at it this morning. It's actually lovely. It's really colorful and bright, and it radiates a certain amount of enthusiasm. Embodied in a single word, and the single word is zest. It's called the Zest Food Hub. Tell listeners how that name came about.
Yeah, for sure. And Jen can help me with this story. But basically, we went through a rather difficult naming process. I don't know if any of you, the listeners, have gone through a naming process before, but it is challenging to come up with a succinct description for what you're trying to achieve with a project of this nature in particular. Okay. So we had drawn together a group of stakeholders to kind of help in that process. And our marketing coordinator here, Morgan Matheson, kind of walked us through a naming process. And at the end of the day, we landed on the word zest because we felt it really represented what we're trying to achieve with this facility, which is the energy, the last push and support that we're trying to put behind our entrepreneurs to really take their businesses to the next level and get them to market.
So Jen, Lana said you played a role in this process. What was your role?
Same as everybody. It was kind of an egalitarian process, I would say. We were all throwing ideas into the hat and just talking about what different words meant to each of us and what had the most impact, what was related to food, what was not related to food. It was, as Lana said, challenging because one person would come up with something that they thought was fantastic and somebody else would say, well, this has that kind of not so great connotation to me. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to see it from so many different aspects. So it was challenging in that front, but I'm happy with where we landed. I think Zest has a food reference that isn't so overpoweringly strong that it's kitschy, but it also has this really great energy about igniting and like sending off the senses. So I like it. I think we landed in a good spot, I would say.
Well, the way both of you have described it, you have manifested a certain amount of zest that I think is highly appropriate for this project. So different people are involved with the project now. You have staff people. Maybe you can just outline, Jen, what the sort of roles of the different staff people are going to be. There's three of you, as I understand, really. Well, there's you and Lana, but there's also, you have a manager person.
We will have
Morgan Matheson.
So Morgan is she works for the Seminar Economic Development Society, actually, and has helped us out with some of the marketing pieces, that such as the naming and the website and the logo. So she's done a really great job. And I think she'll continue to support Zest as we go forward. There are a couple of others that work with the Salmon Arm Development Society that have also been supporting us. And maybe I'll let Lana speak to those. In the future, we have, we plan to put in place a facility manager, which is the other very direct employee of the food hub.
Okay.
And so that person would be very hands-on at the facility day-to-day operations.
Sort of doing day-to-day administrative work and welcoming people, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and overseeing the facility itself. There's going to be, I think, a need for somebody to be monitoring, especially when we're talking about food production. You know, we need to look at cleanliness and all of that sort of stuff.
Indeed. Lana, you also have a star-studded advisory board. Why don't you outline who's on the advisory board?
Yeah, we've been really lucky to have a number of volunteers helping to guide this project along the way. And that's what I was talking about earlier with our support constantly through ACDEV from these thought leaders and change makers in our community, for sure. And so we have Joan Ragsdale, who's the Dean of Okanagan College. Tim Lavery, Councillor Tim Lavery from the City of Salmon Arm, and Councillor Lavery also oversees the Agriculture Advisory Committee at the city level as well. Chad Shipmaker is on our board of directors, and he represents the innovation sector. He's also the CEO for Valid Manufacturing. And Serena Keener with Shuswap Food Action. So really lucky to have that group helping to guide and direct this project.
And you've also roped in Louise Wallace.
Yeah, Louise, Councillor Louise Wallace Richmond joined us for the naming process. Always an active participant and a willing participant when we reach out for extra support. But Louise helped us with that naming process with her marketing background and her creative personality, for sure.
And she could add a little French connection as well.
Yes, absolutely.
The enthusiasm.
Yes.
So now there's an actual physical space under construction. It's, as I understand, the 4,000 square foot Kawasaki building. How did you fix on that as a site?
So we ran a public site selection process. So we issued a request for expressions of interest from property owners and promoted that quite broadly, seeking a property that would meet some of the parameters that we'd identified in the feasibility study and the business plan in terms of size and cold storage options and things like that. And from that process, one of the respondents, actually the only respondent to the RFEOI process, was for the property at 1140 4th Ave Southwest. And that is the building that's directly between, it's actually right behind the Shell station, just off the TransCanada on the west end of town, right next door to the new Habitat for Humanity Restore that's recently opened. It used to be the home of Salmon Arm Fireplace, which is relocated to a new location. So we were able to enter into a lease agreement for this facility, and it's currently undergoing some significant renovations, interior and exterior. Actually, we're really excited about some of the things to come.
So you've taken, as I understand, all the interior partitions have been reworked. It's just a shell. It's being rebuilt, but it's being rebuilt in very specific ways. Maybe you could, probably both of you can say something about this. Jen, maybe you could describe why don't you talk about the kitchen, the community kitchen is the largest space in the building. What's it going to be involved with?
So the building, we have a specific site layout for the building to divide it into a number of different spaces. And the community, the commercial kitchen being, as you said, the largest space at the back. And that will have a lot of different equipment that you would find in a regular commercial kitchen. Such as the range, the oven, the steam jacketed kettle. That was one that we heard quite a bit of demand for. Coolers, freezers, industrial sized dishwasher, and accessible to our shipping and receiving area as well. So that I anticipate that'll be a really popular spot within the food hub itself, for sure.
And one feature of that will be accessibility. I think you're working hard to make this accessible to users in a pretty open way. Lana, what kind of accessibility is your goal in terms of people using the facility?
Yeah, it is definitely a key goal of this project, where we're really working hard to make sure that the price point is something that's affordable for new entrepreneurs and really conducive to helping them start their business. The whole premise of this project is reducing their capital costs for either launching a new business or launching a new product line. So really enabling our local businesses to test and test markets, test products, and launch new ideas and initiatives under a very cost-effective model. So that's definitely a key goal of ours, is trying to support it financially. But then the other layer is trying to support these local businesses with training and a network development to really support the business development programming as well.
Just as a matter of interest, will you have the capacity to have a sort of a sliding scale of fees or user fees? Obviously, different businesses will be different scales in terms of their own operations, different farms, different producers, etc.
Yeah, we anticipate food producers using this space in a variety of ways, and we've tried to be very flexible in that. We've come up with an initial offering of programs related to that based on what we think we're going to see for demand, but we're obviously going to run this as a pilot for the first little bit and use it to gather more information and adjust as we go forward. But we anticipate that there'll be some tenants who will want permanent space. We're calling them our anchor tenants, who would want permanent 24/7 dedicated space just for their operations. And we've allowed some rooms dedicated for that model. And then we've allowed for, you know, the drop-in options for kitchen usage, or more consistent, you know, once a week, once a month, 3 days a week, whatever that might look like. But really trying to be as flexible as possible in what the users might want.
So, Jen, what's going to be in the other rooms? What Lana's given a broad outline of that, but what's going to actually be in those other rooms?
So we're looking at hopefully putting a number of anchor tenants, as Lana just referred to, into some of those rooms. The other way those rooms may be used is they could be used, as Lana said, it's going to be so flexible right at this moment. They could be used as a shared space for another piece of equipment that is used by many people that we could put into that one space. So at the moment, there's a lot of flexibility in what could happen at the food hub. So this is actually a really great time to be involved in the food hub. If anyone has ideas that they want to bring, you know, this is when we're building it. But I also think that we're hoping to build flexibility in, so it can change and shift with the needs of the community as we go forward. One of the other rooms will be our classroom. So,
well, we have a building, we have construction, and we have a feasibility and now a business plan. So in the middle of all this frantic activity of building and construction, I wonder if the dramatic, I was just listening on the radio this morning to the dramatic story of building supply prices skyrocketing. Lana, as somebody with a long background in entrepreneurship and the business world, that must have given you a little bit of a waking moment at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of the risks with going into development projects like this, and something we're just, you know, trying to adjust our startup costs accordingly and our budgets accordingly. But it's definitely a moving target. And yeah, I mean, the activity that's happening in our community right now on a construction basis is one influence. But then the inputs, the resources that we need to undertake this work, and the costs associated with those products is another challenge for sure. So some of the interior renovation plans changed and shifts, and the products that we were going to be using shifted according to what was now most cost effective. And the timeline has shifted a little bit based on availability of our local developers to help with the project. So it's been a moving target. And that's one of the things I think that you have to be great at when you're doing projects like this, is the ability to pivot and adjust and make your model work within the parameters that you're given, for sure, at any time.
Having a lot of experience, as you do, in the hospitality industry, which also can be influenced greatly by anything, weather, government policy, social movements, etc., this must be pretty familiar territory for you to have to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, again, we have a really great network of people behind the project that have really helped us kind of adjust as we need to and make quick decisions on the fly. And I think it's all coming together really well. I think, you know, we'll have a product that's very close to what we anticipated from the beginning, but maybe just some slight shifts along the way to accommodate budget and timelines.
Jen, as the executive director, you have a job to do. You have, well, actually, executive directors usually have about 20 jobs to do simultaneously. But maybe you could outline some of the things that have happened while the building is being prepared, while the nuts and bolts of the project have been put together. What are some of the things that you've been able to accomplish in terms of the actual operational processes? Things like connecting to producers, getting approval. I understand Interior Health had to approve the health nature of the building and the food quality procedures, etc. What's that been like?
Yes, that has been a process for sure. We've been connecting with potential users of the Food Hub throughout the entire process, from the feasibility study all the way through. And I think Lena mentioned earlier, when the media attention went out around us receiving the funding from the Ministry of Agriculture, there was a huge influx of more people interested in the Food Hub. So that's an ongoing piece of work. And it's actually really exciting to hear all the different projects people have that they're dreaming up as we go forward.
Jen, could you give just a few examples of those kinds of projects that, you know, just pop out of your head? People have phoned up and said, I want to do blah, blah, blah.
So yeah, anything from creating soups and sauces that are going to be sold within our community, using community produce to what was someone wanting to do beans and talking about nuts, talking about seeds and seed production. It just runs the gamut, right? So it's always interesting to have those types of calls. It really just gives you a sense of how much creativity is actually out there.
How about connecting to the retail community? Because there are various places in which food products of all sorts are sold. Of course, there's farmers markets. There are large retail outlets, etc. What kinds of interactions have you had with them?
So we're at the beginning stages of that, and we've definitely had some conversations with some of the local retailers. And I think one of the aims of the Food Hub is to connect people and facilitate the growth of what's already here locally. And so the fact that we have so many really great supportive retailers here is a real advantage to having the Food Hub here, and facilitating some contacts and distribution avenues for people coming through the Food Hub.
We have had, in fact, a number of retailers on the show who have expressed interest in expanding their engagement with the local food production world. And obviously, if there are processed foods that are available on shelves, many of which can be can have a longer shelf life because of the processing that has taken place. It would appear that that could be an avenue that you would grow into as time goes by.
Yes, definitely. I think that that's true.
When you said, Lana, that you're sort of mostly on schedule with, apart from the earthquakes that have taken place in the economic end of the world, do you have a sort of rough idea? I won't certainly hold it down to any specific date, because that would be cruel and inhuman punishment. But have you any rough idea when you would like to more or less have this facility and its activities up and running?
We have a soft goal of July, which is coming up quite quickly, but we are making significant progress. The interior renovations are, you know, well underway right now. Most of the equipment is purchased and on site. There's a few pieces we're still targeting, but we're getting close. And so really, it's just kind of being flexible on the construction timeline and then pulling together all the finishing pieces, all of the last minute items that actually are going to be quite time consuming once we actually have the building turned over to us and can start all of the equipment set up and testing and, you know, policy development and all of those pieces. So we're trying to work on those items in parallel right now, but there are a number of pieces that can't really happen until the building is complete. So as soon as that happens, we're all hands on deck, and we're very hopeful for a summer launch.
What sort of policy framework are you building around this? Maybe Jen, you could, because you designed the business plan, what do you see as a kind of a framework that you operate in that makes things work efficiently? You must have been working on some of that.
Yeah, so I mean, part of the framework that the Food Hub will have to operate under is the interior health regulations, for sure. And so we've been working on the plans that are required on that front. And that's part of the approval processes that we're sort of in the middle of at the moment. But beyond that, the Food Hub will have to create procedures and protocols, for sure, to ensure the smooth functioning, and not just within the facility, but as a broader organization as well. And there's a lot to still work out on that front. It's right now we have a working group that will transition as it goes forward into a different advisory group, potentially with more industry people on it to give more input about the direction of the Food Hub. And so some of those more structural pieces will be addressed down the road. At the moment, this is a pilot project. And as a pilot project, it's running under the Economic Development Society, right?
So, it may be a pilot project, but it's also, as Lana was pointing out, and you were as well, that this is not the first food hub to be established. So have you been connecting to other communities where food hubs are already established, or regional districts where this kind of operation is already in place?
So the network of food hubs across the province that Lana Popham has wanted to create is starting to actually take form. We've had some initial meetings with a large number of the food hubs. Some of them are further along and some of them are behind us. So it's an interesting group to converse with, because some people are the people that can help you where you're at, and some people are asking you for help as well. So it's a really great way to support the building of food hubs throughout the province.
Is there yet a BC Food Hub Executive Directors Organization, or a kind of a support group for food hubs generally? Is that in the offing?
I think it's a loose network at the moment, is what it is. And I don't know that it will become an organization. I think what is most useful is having that support and that relationship of other food hubs and other areas and just knowing what they're doing and being able to compare notes.
Lana, as you have been working so intensely on shepherding this new institution, if you want to call it, into place, what kind of interaction have you had yourself with other economic development processes in other communities? Obviously, the collaboration part of this is a big element. What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been really helpful, Warren, for sure. We've had some communication. An example community is the city of Quesnel. They're launching the Sprout Food Hub right now. They're actually just a little bit ahead of us. Their doors just opened within the last, I think, really within the last month here.
So you're going to add a little zest to their sprouts.
That's right, yes. Yeah, and so it's really interesting to have conversations with neighboring communities throughout British Columbia to understand how their products and services are different from ours, to help us sort of think about different revenue streams and think about different offerings. But really, it's also kind of speaks to how our economies are slightly different as well, and how we're each doing things that are really responsive within our own areas. So there's been value for sure in that collaboration, and everything from, you know, tenant agreements to insurance, all of those sort of administrative tedious pieces that we have to address. It's helpful to have input on those and shared information.
They may be tedious, but they're also very important, especially in a pinch sometimes. Jen, obviously one influence on the nature of the food hub would be the kind of food that is grown in this area. And that is obviously, as I understand it, dairy is the primary food source, if you like, or food production process in this part of the world. How has that influenced, as you see it, the kind of development of the food, of the planning for this food hub? How has that played a role in that?
Well, I think the food hub is looking to accommodate what is here, but also to not be limited necessarily to producers that are, you know, here, because I think that in some regards, processors, the people who are coming in, with food has such a narrow margin for making a go of it. And so I think that by helping people coming in with whatever their product is, the food hub will facilitate their success. And if we can encourage people to be using more local ingredients, I think that that will be a great synergy. But even if we can get more food that is processed locally on our local shelves, I think that is a great benefit to our food system.
I think every listener to the show would agree with what you just said. So maybe we can talk a little bit about some specific concrete issues that I know you've addressed, both Jen and Lana, you've both addressed in many respects. But specifically, there are a lot of organic food growers around here. Protecting one's organic certification is a big deal for organic farmers. Hopefully one day it will become more of the norm and there'll be maybe a provincial certification agency, and it will take all the best qualities of the private ones and make them permanent for the long future. How will this be managed, the avoidance of contamination from non-organic of organic food could be a problem? I understand you've got a pretty good system for that, Lana, to make sure that doesn't happen.
We do, Warren. Yeah, it's definitely a big concern for us, ensuring there's no cross-contamination between the users. It's one of the challenges in that shared use model. Of course, the benefits come in on the cost side and the efficiency side, but the challenges come in under the diversity of products and the different users within that space. So we've definitely taken that into consideration. And again, that's one of the helpful pieces that has come about through the Food Hub network is some of the policies that are already in place at existing food hubs that will help support the segregation of different products and the cleanliness of the facility and the equipment and really ensure that we're operating in a safe and successful manner for all users.
That's where those conversations with people involved with other food hubs must have been very helpful, because it gives you kind of a sense of how to go in that direction. Jen, what foods will be handled? What food sources will be handled through the food hub, at least initially?
I think it's pretty open. I think the only thing that we've really talked about excluding at the moment is that we're not looking to open an abattoir of any kind, but that does not exclude meat products. So I think that it's pretty open at the moment for people to bring the products that they're interested in creating.
So do you have a sense of the mix of proposals or inquiries? I sort of lump them together. People who would like to work with the Food Hub, what's the sort of general trend of the kinds of foods that they've been talking to you about?
Honestly, it's all over. There's lots of different options of what people would like to do. I mean, from more very production line type businesses to small catering kind of operations, potentially food truck kind of deals. And so it's really wide open at this point for people to come and do what they want. It just provides a really great opportunity, you know, for somebody, say, who's at the farmer's market and they want to do a little bit through the season, then they can use the equipment just in that time frame. So it's, as I said before, really creating flexibility for people.
Always a good thing in a startup. If you respond to the people that come to you, then you're obviously in a better position to thrive yourself. Lana, maybe talk a little bit about packaging. People these days are very engrossed in the notion of packaging because we throw out a lot of packaging. We produce packaging that's difficult to recycle, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that there's been quite a bit of thought around the packaging issue.
Yeah, you know, we really think that the users of the facility will drive any packaging needs. So we're trying again to be flexible to really meet the demands of the actual users of the facility. And that will just change over time. I mean, our hope with this facility is that, you know, best case scenario is a new entrepreneur would temporarily use this space and would actually, you know, build their business to a level where they would need a facility that was permanent in the community and they would move out of the facility. So it's just a fluid facility is really what we're trying to develop that can change over time to meet the new demands of new tenants. So packaging will really follow that same model, but we're absolutely considering environmental sustainability, environmental protection in everything that we're doing in the food hub. And that goes from handling our waste, any waste that's generated in the facility, right up the line to packaging. So we would be fully supportive of compostable packaging or recyclable packaging options, glass packaging. We're also looking at, you know, compost options for any in-house waste that's generated. So it's a high priority for us, the Economic Development Association, for really ensuring that environmental sustainability and environmental protection.
Packaging requires labeling. I believe there's some thought being devoted to the notion of a local brand, a Shuswap brand, grown in the Shuswap. What's that
like?
Yeah,
that concept actually emerged through the CSRD's regional agriculture strategy, which was developed a number of years ago. And so there was a lot of interest in developing a brand that food processors could really leverage that would tell the story about our area and really let consumers know that this product is a Shuswap product. So that's something that's on our radar as well. We have several phases for the Food Hub, and a community brand or a Shuswap-wide brand for locally grown, locally produced products is definitely on our radar, and I think a good fit for this venture.
Another thing that's on the radar is, and it's very definitely part of the actual business plan, is training and teaching and education. Jen, what kind of things do you see playing a role? What would you like to, how would you like that to roll out?
Well, it does play a part in our business plan. We've incorporated a classroom into the layout of the Food Hub. And part of what I think that we have so many great business supports here in San Manarm already. And part of the Food Hub role could be to connect our up-and-coming food producers and processors with some of these fantastic programs. And not just the programs. I think that there are also a number of really strong mentors in our area that are more than happy to play a role in fostering the sort of the next generation of entrepreneurs in the food system here. And so connecting those people would be a really great thing to do as well. And we've talked a lot about, you know, part of the reason we have a classroom is so that we can bring people into the Food Hub to do food-related classes within that food environment. So I think that it is an important piece to be a connector.
It really sounds like a very stimulating sort of environment, both in terms of practical services and expenditures in capital equipment that is available to people to use, but also in kind of, I don't want to use too many agricultural or food-related analogies, but sort of seeding ideas and fermenting processes in people's minds. But it does seem like that is an inherent part of any operations to do with food. You end up having discussions, you have mentoring, as you said, and there are a lot of really experienced farmers around here. I wonder if I could just get you both to say what you think about the idea of having something like a Red Seal program for farming so that people could have formal certification like you had with respect, Lana, to economic development. That kind of notion that you could say, I've done this much, therefore I have a qualification that's valid. Jen, as a farmer yourself over the years, what are your thoughts on a Red Seal kind of program and what it would do?
I think there's definitely merit to that. And I think part of what something like that could do is really increase the success of new farmers. So many times people jump into farming without any idea of what it actually entails, and without looking at whether they suit that type of job or lifestyle. So I think that having a better idea of what you're getting yourself into before you try to make that leap will really build success for the farming sector.
Lana, I suspect that you at this present time do not have a yen to become a farmer. You're quite busy enough doing economic development.
I have a lovely backyard garden that fully fulfills me, Warren. Absolutely. I love it. But that's probably the extent of my farming capabilities at this stage, for sure.
Having a garden is a wonderful thing, even if it's a small one. We're coming to close to the end of the show. I'd like to give each of you an opportunity just to outline what you feel would be the role of the Food Hub, say in a few years, say 3 to 5 years, when it's established, what do you see it doing? Lana, as the person who has sort of stick-handled the background of this process. What do you see as your vision for the future?
I think, you know, our goal with this project is really to enable our micro, small, and medium-sized businesses to scale up their production and grow their businesses. So it is really designed to be a supportive space in every possible way. So supportive in training, supportive in network and mentorship, supportive in equipment, and supportive in space. So it'll be a space that changes often based on new needs and new opportunities that are emerging, for sure. But the primary foundation behind this is to support our businesses in launching new products and growing their businesses.
Well, that sounds like an admirable vision for the future. Jen, how do you see the Food Hub and what role it will play in the future, say 3 to 5 years down the road?
Well, I think Glenn has done a really great job outlining it. The one thing I would like to add is I would like to see the Food Hub, Zest Commercial Food Hub, become a community and become an incredible support for our food system in the local Shuswap area. So I think in order to build a really strong, resilient food system, you do need a community hub. And that's what I would like to see this food hub become.
A community, that's something, the word community is a word that we use a lot these days. And COVID has reinforced our sense of that, you know, we have to think and act as a community. On the website, the three words that are featured very prominently on the website are cultivate, connect, and community. And I think you, both of you, have done an excellent job of outlining this exciting new project, which I cannot in any way see as anything other than a transformative influence on food production in this part of the world. I'd like to thank you both again. Jen Gamble, Executive Director of the Shuswap Food Hub, also known as the Zest Food Hub, and Lana Fitt, the Economic Development Manager for the Shuswap, the Salmon Arm Economic Development Society. It's been wonderful having you on the show, and thank you very much for outlining this new project.
Thank you.